The second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 28 through 32, the parable of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." May God add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Thank you, Rose. You know, as we, if you haven't noticed, I've left Acts for a couple weeks here because I wanted us to truly celebrate Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and we'll get back to Acts when we get back from our vacation as well. I had this text read this morning. It's not the text of the triumphal entry, but if you'll look at the word, you'll realize it comes shortly thereafter, after Jesus comes into town. I entitled the message this morning, it was an upside down week, because if you look at what happened, boy, did things change. Think about it. There's the triumphal entry at the beginning of the week, and by the time we get to the end of that week, the one who came in as a triumphal king is dead. Think about it. The crowds were cheering the king. And by the end of the week, they were convinced to tell him to be crucified. This was an upside down week. This was a huge difference from the beginning to the end. How many of us have had those kind of weeks where it starts one way and by the end of the week it's completely different? Maybe it starts out good and ends bad, or maybe it started out bad but ends up good. But your whole week, maybe just your day, has been turned upside down. Here's what was happening during that week, an emotional roller coaster. It had to have been an emotional roller coaster for Jesus. In its humanness, there's no doubt when he came in to Jerusalem and the people who were giving him honor and seeing him for someone other than just one of the guys, there's no doubt it must have been an emotional roller coaster even for him. We forget that Jesus, although fully divine, he was fully human too. He experienced the emotions that you and I experience. And then to see at the end of the week the horrible pain and the emotional turmoil he went through, thinking about the garden when he was praying, and he knew what was coming. And you can see and you can hear the agony in his voice as he knows what he's going to do, but he does it because he loves us so much. The disciples at the beginning of the week were behind him. And then one betrays him. Really, you could say really two betrayed him. There was Judas and Peter. Peter, who was so loud at the beginning of the week, "We're all for you. And we're going to go wherever you want us to go," even when Jesus suggests towards the end of the week of what's going to happen, Peter still, "We got your back." By the end of the week, he denies Jesus three times. What an upside down week. At the beginning of the week, we're ready to celebrate the Passover. By the end of the week, Jesus is the Passover lamb. At the beginning of the week, they're receiving a king, and by the end of the week, they want Barabbas, who's a criminal. How upside down is this week? And if you're like me, you would have loved the first part of the week and we would have despised the end of the week. Bandwagon people. I think we see that in this week of activity. So many people were on the bandwagon at the beginning of the week. Not really the religious leaders because they didn't like what was going on. But a lot of others were on the bandwagon at the beginning of the week. It seemed they got on a different bandwagon at the end of the week. Wow. I look at this whole week and I think this is a whole week of a roller coaster. What's going on? So I wanted to plop in the middle of this text that we read here in the Gospel of Matthew. This was shared not long after the triumphal entry, which is at the beginning of that chapter in Matthew. And then we get the little situation there with Jesus in the temple when he is upset with the temple being used as a den of thieves, rather a place to worship and honor him. A couple other incidents, and then there's this parable of the two sons. You heard the parable about the father who asks his son to do something. And in one case, the son says, "I will not do what you've asked me to do," but then ends up doing it. Another son is asked, likewise, "Would you do this for me?" And the son says, "I will." And they didn't do it. So he asked those that are gathered there, "Who did the right thing here?" And their answer was correct. It was the one who said, "I'm not going to, but I will." Or, "I'm not going to," but they did. Not the one who said, "I will," and they didn't. I'm assuming you and I would answer the same way. If we were asked that question of Jesus, we'd probably answer the same way. And then he goes on to say, he kind of has a descriptive about who it is that is those who said, "I won't," and they did, and those who said they would, and they didn't. And there's an irony in this, but it's the same irony that kind of takes place during this whole week of upside down stuff. You see, if you look at the text here, he kind of identifies those who are the ones who said, "I won't," and they did. Tax collectors, prostitutes. They're entering the kingdom ahead of you. Now, he's speaking now to who? A bunch of religious leaders. Who are the ones that would say, "I will," and they didn't. The religious leaders were in that category of "I will," and they didn't. It was the scum that was in the second category of "they said I won't," and they did. It doesn't sit real pretty with us sometimes in the established church to hear this. Because could there be a hint of us being somewhat like the religious leaders? We've become so accustomed to being a part of the religious establishment, and we know exactly how we're supposed to behave, at least in church. I heard someone share a story with me just before church, and I won't identify who it was, talked about something that happened many, many, many years ago, not here, in another church. Something that was wrong and should have been done differently, and where someone in the church actually stood up and swore to tell them it should be done differently. Woo! That was kind of upsetting the establishment a little bit. But you and I sometimes in the Church of Jesus Christ, we become so comfortable with the way things are, and we know how to act and we know how to behave. Yet are we really doing what God's called us to do? Or just acting like it? We're not even doing it. I can act like a Christian here in church. Say the occasional amen, smile at people and give you some attention, and then go out there throughout the week and act like an absolute idiot. Living in sin and doing the things I shouldn't be doing. That's the I wills. But they didn't. And I imagine if you would let the Holy Spirit work on you this morning, some of you might say, I got a little bit of that in me. And there are others of you who might be here this morning that feel, I'm the crap of the earth. I'm the scum. If you only knew what I've done in my life, I'm not worthy of something like this. I can't, you might say. I won't because I can't. And yet God's speaking to you this morning and saying, He loves you just as much as He loves the person down the row or up a few pews from you who looks like, man, they've got it all together. You may be the one here in Scripture where He says, I won't. But all you have to say is, I will. And Jesus says, I love you. And that's who I really want. It's not the fake, but the real. That triumphal entry into Jerusalem and all the events that took place that whole week, culminating in Jesus' death, and we know that it doesn't end there, like Paul Harvey's rest of the story. We know the rest of the story, but all that week, it conjured up in people's minds and hearts a myriad of kinds of emotions and reactions to what was going on. It started out as something very shallow. The triumphal entry, in a sense, was very shallow because they didn't understand what they were doing when Jesus came into town. Boy, did it get deep by the end of the week. The end of the week was where the rubber met the road. The end of the week is when Jesus says, I'm going to finish something I came 33 or thereabouts years ago to do, and I'm going to do it. Even the disciples didn't really know who Jesus was at this point. They had been given hints, and Jesus had been telling them. He had even been telling them what was going to happen, but they were still somewhat confused. Because, you know, these same disciples that were hanging with Him on that triumphal entry and they couldn't wait to be identified with Jesus were kind of a little ways off when He hung on the cross. How do you and I identify, identify with the real or the fake? Are we coming before our Lord with repentance and humility? Are we coming before Him not seeking a religion but a relationship? Are we seeking sonship as opposed to one-upsmanship? Determining fake from real sometimes is kind of hard to do unless you know a heart. You know, like how many of you have been hacked on Facebook where someone steals your whatever and so your name is identified with a new account and you're asked to friend that person? You know how I determine what probably is the case, whether it's fake or real? Is I look and I see how many mutual friends you have. And if it's someone I know has a whole lot of people that we share friendships with and you only show up as one mutual friend, that's probably fake. So I just say delete. Or you go put the cursor on the name, whatever, it shows up and it doesn't have any really information at all in the page. I think that's gotta be fake. God knows fake from real. He knows our hearts. Even though there are people who may not know our hearts, God knows our hearts. And I hope for you and for me this morning, this upside down week, when we get to the end of the week, we realize where the rubber meets the road. I want to be real and not fake. I want a relationship, not a religion. I want to have His pedigree, not mine. I want to be His child, not my own. I want to be selfless, not selfish. I want to be holy, not unholy. I want to be humble, not proud. I want to repent, not be in denial. I want to celebrate the real reason for Easter, and not the fake stuff. I want to celebrate something I know, not something someone else knows. I want to be His child and proclaim His name in good times and in the bad. I want to remember that between Palm Sunday and Easter comes Good Friday. Yes, folks, it was an upside down week. When we look at it emotionally and say, I would have been on a high on Palm Sunday, and I would have been crushed on Good Friday. Yet He was the one who was crushed for our iniquities. It's by His stripes that we are healed. And I know that Easter's coming, when Good Friday came. That's the real, not the fake. And I hope you know the real, not the fake. And I hope that you are real and not fake. If you're real, people will see some of your flaws. If I'm real, people will see some of my flaws. And it's okay. Because I live in the context of someone who loves me, just like He loved the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And I want to be the one that might say initially, I'm not going to, but I will. Rather than the one who wants to look good and say, I will, and I don't. Is that who you want to be? I pray that's who you want to be. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for the realness of Your Word. And really, as we read the Scripture this morning, in light of what happened during that whole week, You want real. Real is raw sometimes. Real shows flaws. Real shows that there's a need. And we need to realize we need You badly. Help us, oh God, to be real in the sense that people look at us and they say, that person has a relationship with someone who loves them dearly. Not a religion that looks good. I want to be in church because I love You, not because it looks good. I want to be in church because I want to enjoy fellowship with others who struggle through life too and are seeking to get through it better with the one who is their heavenly daddy. That's what I want, not because it looks good. I pray that for everyone here. And we give You praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.